From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Once again, you're just joining us. We are, it's Wednesday, so we are in Montgomery, Alabama at the Alabama State House. It is a legislative session. Your lawmakers here at work. So we'll continue throughout the day. This is some interesting topics to get into. But we're hearing from different lawmakers from around the state, and they got their bills, and we'll talk to them about it. Happy to do that. Still to come on the program here in about a half hour, State Representative Reed Ingram of Pike Road. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, State Representative Margie Wilcox, the elusive Margie Wilcox, joining the program. I'm very pleased about that. And then potentially my good friend from Birmingham, probably more precisely Mountain Brook, State Senator Dan Roberts. That is if the schedule lines up right, and if it doesn't, we'll just drag in Dale Jackson off the street. We'll get two Dale Jackson segments this week, and I'm sure a lot of you will be thrilled about that. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. That is the text line. You need to be in touch with the show. You text me, and I read your text on air. Real quick before we get to our next guest, Jeff, is it possible under school choice for uneducated parents to take the money and just go through the motions with trying to educate children? And that's a question that comes up with maybe the homeschool provision of that. I think it's a legitimate concern. Now they're still kind of working through some of these details. What kind of accountability requirements are going to be in this school choice plan. And there is testing, but it's not like the standardized public school tests. You take it at your Alabama school or anything like that. It has to be a reputable test. We're not just diving in head first, like gambling on this one, guys. This one is very incremental on school choice. They're not just trying to pass a bunch of gambling and then just move along. They're testing the waters. They're getting in the shallow end, and we're going to wade through it. So we'll see where that goes. So make sure you we get more text here. And no, thankfully we don't. 251-343-0106. But joining us now here on the program, from a mile stomping ground, and we'll regale my old days, but from Hoover, Alabama, State Representative Mike Shaw with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. It's good to be here. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. So oftentimes when I'm doing business in Birmingham, I run this 1819 news website, so it pulls me away to different parts of the state. But I grew up in Pelham.
It's down the road.
My first job at the Cindy Cinnamon Rolls in the River Chase Galleria there, and I even worked on and off there throughout college when I was home for the summer, too. But you're from Hoover. I mean, it's the hustle and bustle. Whenever I, go back home, I mean, I sometimes forget about this world. It's just kind of a world of its own, but they still have a state aligned responsibility and duty, in the over the mountain suburbs.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up in Vestavia Hills, but moved to Hoover when we started having our kids, and it's been there for 20 something years. So I consider myself from the area, and it's been an honor to serve where I grew up,
Well, you're a newish member here. How's it been?
Oh, definitely new. It's only my second term. I had a prior gig in city council in Hoover for 6 years, so I got a little taste of government and working, getting along with people and everything. But this is different. It's a whole different level, a lot faster pace, and so it's definitely different.
Well, what are your takeaways? Just kind of a casual observer of Hoover government. I mean, when I was growing up in the 90s, I mean, Hoover was the place to be. It was growing, annexing everywhere, and all of us in Shelby County, anti-Hoover, it's really, really taken off now. And that means that now it's kind of settling in, and you were on city council, but I don't know what your experience was there, but talk about the two. You said it's faster pace here. It's just surprising.
So, I mean, city council, I mean, Hoover, we were a fast-growing city and had a lot of plans. I was on planning and zoning also, so there's always something going on. Every Monday you got a meeting. Thursdays you have a meeting, meetings with HOAs, different communities and everything. So throughout the year you had a lot of stuff going on, but when you had something that was going to be on the agenda, you usually knew 3 or 4 months ahead of time. Here it's you might vote on 7 or 8 bills in a day. And so it's been a transition to get used to not knowing every little detail of everything, and also, but still being able to vote on important things and knowing the people and do you trust them when they sponsor a bill, things like that. So it's kind of the same. It's different, but also in Hoover, we're all at large in city council positions. So everybody was kind of on the same page. If we fought, we generally did it behind closed doors and we kind of made up our minds if possible. But here, everybody's from their district and they represent their district. And it's really interesting how you can talk to somebody and they do represent their district. And so it's been fun to get to know people and kind of see that dynamic.
Yeah, and I tell people this all the time about like how the state works together. It's because you think of Alabama, you know, the world thinks of Alabama as just one monolith, but you look, take a closer look, the state's very tribal, you know, and they're very different economic interests. The one unifying thing is that big cursive A, you know, you see when you're driving around for the University of Alabama. But it took me 20 years to figure out, but you just kind of watch these processes, state Senate, state House, and how the state just kind of comes together to make this work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, there's certain things that tie us together. It might be the region. I mean, I'm in the Jefferson County delegation, and that's an interesting bunch to be a part of.
That's tough.
But on the same side, we see, I've seen how other places, Huntsville and Mobile, how they collaborate even when they disagree on things. And so I'm thinking Jefferson County, we're especially some of us new folks, we've been talking. It's like, okay, we got to if we're going to do well for our county, we got to get along, so.
Well, and it's interesting because right now in Jefferson County, I mean, you know, there are two parties. It has to be, and in all the elections and the politics will all settle itself out. There has to be that bipartisan sort of cooperation. We had the same thing going on in Mobile County as well.
Yeah, I mean, Jefferson County is very competitive between Democrats and Republicans. You know, of course, I am a Republican. But again, when you look at the people there, they're representing their district, and I'm representing my district, and we just have to find common ground where possible and also let people represent. I mean, some people like their representatives to be out front and loud and talking about stuff, and other people want to see more statesmanlike kind of quiet approach to things. And so everybody brings who they are to the state house, and you bring your district to the state house, and hopefully we can hash it out and get along at the end of it.
Joined by State Representative Mike Shaw here on the program from Hoover. Let's move on to the matters of state now. You just on the floor there, it looks like you got your bill through. Talk to us a little bit.
Yeah, that was my first bill. So bright and early on a Wednesday morning. Yeah, this was the, a lot of people remember the unfortunate events last year where we had a young lady that made a false report of an abduction,
right?
On the interstate, and it had the toddler and the whole thing and the story.
Carly Russell saga.
Yeah. And the story just became international story and really made our community and our state look like a place where you could disappear without a trace. And everybody, people know we're one of the safest communities in the state, if not the nation. And so that created great expense, great public alarm. It was just a bad scene. And at the end of it, it was only a misdemeanor offense, which is only a minimal amount of prosecution and conviction you can do. So this bill will increase that penalty to a Class C in a certain, when it reaches a certain level, if it causes basically a huge response, not too technical about it, then it makes it a Class C felony with more severe penalties. April Weaver in the Senate worked on it. Me and Lee Holsey in the House worked on it. And obviously the AG's office had a lot of input as well.
Well, and I mean, there's been a little bit of a chilling effect coming out of Carly Russell thing. It's a reluctance or something, but there's a little bit of like hesitation to sound the alarm if there is somebody missing or something like that right now, it seems like.
I mean, that's the biggest issue for me, is because sooner or later somebody's going to need help again. And they might actually need help. That might not be a hoax. And if you need help, you want your community to come help and search and do what they can to help. And people may sit home and go, well, hey, fool me once. I'm not getting up and running on a wild goose chase again. I'm going to stay home. So we want a community where people want to help. And hey, it was a great, Hoover is a very diverse community. Everybody showed up, all different races and
backgrounds. Yeah, volunteers. Yeah, just that whole roadside.
Yeah, right? And to have that be abused is something we are hopefully we can create a disincentive to do that in the future.
Because you never really think you need something like that. You never think the disincentive, but man, it's just where the culture is taking us, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, and I will say this, because we talked about this on the floor, Ms. Russell Googled the consequences of her actions before she did them. She was looking at restitution for Amber Alerts and things like that. So we do live in an era where sometimes people will actually do a web search on what are the consequences of what I'm about to do. So we hope they see that this is a serious offense and they don't do it. So.
I'm sitting down there in Mobile and I get the Amber Alert for her, and then I think just kind of behind the scenes, we were doing some reporting on it, and it was already kind of suspicious, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that didn't add up, but I mean, that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
But you still got to take it serious.
They have to respond. Yeah. I mean, there's that Netflix special on where the person they suspected that abduction of being fake. Well, we see that was actually true. So you have to treat everything as real. And our police department, our police chief Nick Durzis, one of the best in the business, they were out there making it happen regardless. I think they probably had some suspicions early on that there was something not right about this situation. But you can't make assumptions. You got to treat everybody as important and go out and try to help.
Joined by Mike Shaw here on the program. He represents Hoover, some of the over-the-mountain suburbs there in Birmingham. We were just talking to Representative Lover a moment ago, and this, you're in the same situation here with regards to school choice. My niece and nephew are in Hoover City Schools. I know them well. It's a good school system. Vestavia Hills, one of the best in the state right there. And Jefferson County depends on where, I suppose. But when we talk about school choice and your constituents, maybe this isn't an issue where, you really need school choice like some other places, though. But, like, threading that needle and recognizing, it may not be a problem for me, but it could be a problem in other parts of the state, and having to look at it from that perspective and not just, from wherever you are and considering your vote. Kind of walk us through that and where you were on that.
Sure. So I have Hoover and Vestavia Hills. I actually went to Vestavia Hills High School, and our kids went to Spain Park, which is a Hoover City school. I think in my district, school choice is less of an issue or question at the higher levels, grade levels, probably more at the, first 1 through 5. People want more options for private schools or religious schools or things like that. I didn't get a lot of feedback from the district on that. But for me personally, just looking at our state and our state has done a lot of work with local school systems, city school systems. Other states don't have this. Florida doesn't, Texas doesn't, other places don't. A lot of the places that are really implementing really deep school choice systems. But in our case, we've done local control has always been really important. So my take has always been, okay, what are we doing? Is it going to – we've spent decades fostering and curating these local school systems. Let's make sure we don't hurt that. This bill didn't seem to do that, and I didn't get a lot of a lot of concerns from our local school systems. That was my main thing, was making sure our local school systems were going to be okay.
And this is like my concern. And then looking at this, and I don't think this is necessarily going to be a problem, but like, you guys pay high taxes in Hoover. You have good schools, your community committed to it. They voted on it. The drill, Representative. And this is I live in Fairhope. It's sort of similar in the feeder system of the Baldwin County schools. You build up this school system and you make it what it is. And then the possibility that somebody would want to come to your school from out of the district, never really paid the taxes, but they have these funds from the government set aside, and that really disrupting things. I mean, that's something that if I were in your shoes and I had my constituents, especially Vestavia Hills, I mean, who wouldn't want to go there? They have to be a little worried about a dilution of quality.
Yeah, in Vestavia, one thing I hear all the time is, well, hey, y'all have – great school systems where you are. Nobody's going to leave that school, and they haven't been through a mask vote or a mascot controversy or anything else. People will leave a school for a lot of reasons. So you do have to think about if you create that possibility that people can leave and take the money away, or people can come into, I think with the opt-in provisions and some things, we don't necessarily have to worry about right. other school systems overlapping. But it is a unique set of circumstances. But here's the thing. I know we definitely need innovation in education, and with my back, my technology guy, and so I'm all for creating safe environments to innovate. And we know in some places of the state, we've got to come up with some options, and this seems like a good way to do it. And as a concept, I believe in school choice. I believe that parents should have the right to send their kids to a school that's going to reflect the kind of education and values they want them to learn. So.
We got to leave it there, but you've been very kind. State Representative Mike Shaw, Shipley Donuts alumni.
Oh, yeah,
here.
Yeah. My wife's engagement ring, I paid for that by working at Shipley Donuts there on Lorna Road.
Very nice.
Sunday.
All right, guys, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Getting caught.